Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. I am your host, Christopher. During our program, please join us in our chat rooms where you can comment, ask questions, or discuss our program. You will find that on blogtalkradio.com/hallelujah-pete. You may also email us your questions at hallelujahpete@gmail.com. You may also send a text message to us with your questions or comments to area code 567-259-6043. Also, like us on our Facebook page, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Once again, I say unto my precious brothers and sisters listening out there, Hallelujah, praise the Lord. And I also say, thank you, Jesus, for another lesson in Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E, the Bible. And there are so many versions for us to draw from. But our lessons tonight will be taken from the Old King James Version of the Bible. And as I welcome you to this episode tonight, I am again so excited because tonight we will continue our study in the book of Isaiah. And you know what that means, that this study will expose all of the prophecies of Isaiah the prophet about the Messiah of Israel, which points directly to Jesus the Christ. In fact, one of the prophecies actually gives us a vivid description of the Savior to be. Now, many theologians today constantly use verses from the manuscripts of Isaiah. The Jews consider Isaiah a major prophet, and his writings are revered by both Jews and Christians alike. Now, I highly suggest that you have your Bible sources open, laptops, tablets, Bible apps, or regular Bibles, and have your pens and pencils ready for taking notes. Now, another reminder, every 10 minutes or so, we will have what I consider a commercial break, during which time you may ask questions or comment or inquire if you like. Now, before we get started, I want to personally take this time again to thank those of you who have taken the time to give me feedback on the show. The comments and the advice that you are giving me, my brothers and sisters, I am using. Thank you so very much. As our theme song for the show suggests, the question for this hour is, are you standing on the promises of God or Jesus Christ? The Spirit said to the church at Thyatira, he that overcometh shall have power over the nations, meaning the flesh, and receive the morning star, meaning Jesus Christ. That's taken from Revelation chapter 2, verse 29. Now, the promise is that you will have power over your flesh and you will have Jesus Christ if you follow the instructions given to the church at Thyatira. The Spirit said to the church at Sardis, he that overcometh shall receive a white garment. His name shall be not blotted out of the book of life, and his name confessed to the Father and to his angels by the Son. This is taken from Revelation chapter 3, verse 6. Now, again, the promise is that you will not have your name blotted out of the Lamb's Book of Life, and you will be confessed before the Father and his angels by Jesus Christ if you follow and overcome with the instructions given at the Church of Sardis. The Spirit said to the church at Philadelphia, "He that overcometh and keep the words of Jesus Christ shall not be subject to the hour of temptation to commit sin." That's in Revelation chapter 3, verse 13. So the promise is that if you want to be not tempted, you will follow the instructions of the words of Jesus Christ given to the church in this instance. The Spirit said to the church at Laodicea, "He that overcometh shall sit on the throne with Jesus Christ." That's in Revelation chapter 3, verse 22. Now, the promise is that you will have a place seated with Jesus Christ if you overcome and you follow the directions of what the instructions given by the Spirit to the church at Laodicea. Now, the question again is, at this time, are you standing on the promises of Jesus Christ? Now, before we start the lesson, I want to remind all of you again that the Bible is written in code, meaning written in mysteries, in secrets, in parables, in prophecies, in proverbs, in paradoxes, in riddles, and in symbols. And the only way you can break the code is through study and learning. Now, let's go to the study. We're going to go to Isaiah chapter 34, and we're going to be reading verses 1 through 4. This is instruction number 49 out of 101 that I've written for the series. Isaiah chapter 34, verse 1 through 4. And this is what I want you to pay attention to, my brothers and sisters. This is the instruction that we're gleaning from the reading of the text. Consider this judgment of God. Consider this judgment of God. And this is what Isaiah is telling to the nation of Israel. And this is chapter 34 of Isaiah, verse 1 through 4. And this is what it says. "Come near, ye nations, to hear and hearken, ye people. Let the earth hear, and all that is therein, the world and all things that come forth of it." And now Isaiah is telling them, consider this judgment. Verse 2 says, "For the indignation of the Lord is upon all nations, and his fury upon all their armies. He hath utterly destroyed them. He hath destroyed them to the slaughter. Their slain also shall be cast out, and their stink shall come up out of their carcasses, and the mountains shall be melted with their blood, and all of the host of heaven shall be dissolved, and all of the heavens shall be rolled together as a scroll. And all of their hosts shall fall down, and as the leaf falleth off from the vine, and as a failing fruit from the fig tree." This is Isaiah telling the nation of Israel the judgment that they are facing before God because of their disobedience. Now let's complete that thought with verse 16. This is what Isaiah tells Israel. "Seek ye out of the book of the Lord and read. No one of these shall fail. None shall want her mate, for my mouth hath commanded it, and his spirit it hath gathered them." So seek ye out of the book of the Lord. And what we have today is basic instructions before leaving earth. That is where this prophecy is pointing to, my brothers and sisters. Now let's go to our compliment, the New Testament compliment, and we're going to see how the book of Revelation, chapter 12, compares and agrees with what we just read. Revelation chapter 20, verse 12. And this is what the book of Revelation says. "And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things written which are in the books, according to their works." Now, what this is telling us, that there are at least three books. We are told, and the books were open. That means more than one. And another book was open, which is the book of life. So there are three books that we're talking about. And out of those books, We will continue after our break to give the rest of the lesson.
The tragedy is this. We get discouraged. We see our economy going down. All right? We get discouraged. We look at this paper coming in asking for claims or some debt we have to pay. We get discouraged. We are snared by the visible. The visible is what the devil uses. The visible, look at the lump, how it's growing. Look at your report. Look at what the report says. And it's all visible. We lose sight of the invisible God. Elijah forgot the God who led him to Cherith. He forgot the ravens that fed him by day and by evening. He forgot the woman that God commanded to feed him. And he forgot the barrel of meal that never wasted and the jar of oil that never ceased. He forgot the God of the resurrection that raised the boy from the dead, even through him. He forgot the God who answered by fire and the rain that followed. Why? Because like this, any of us can fall away from faith. Even we walked in the greatest faith yesterday, we can go back to sight today. Peter asked the Lord Jesus when he saw him above the storm, above the waves on the Lake of Galilee, walking. Lord, if it's you, Lord, bid me come. Jesus says, come, Peter, come. Based on the word of the Lord, looking at Jesus, he stepped on the water and the wind started howling. When Peter saw the wind was boisterous. What has the wind being boisterous got anything to do with walking on water? You mean if there's no boisterous wind, you can walk? You mean on a perfect day, on a swimming pool, no ripple, you can walk? The wind has nothing to do with it. But when he saw the wind, he lost sight of the living Lord. And he began to sing. Walking by sight will cause the greatest of the disciples to sing and the greatest of the prophets to fail. And we're not throwing stones here at either Peter or Elijah. We are just saying where we missed it. We take our eyes off the invisible into the visible. He got discouraged. His prayer in times past was to pray, to be directed by the Lord. The Lord directs him. He goes to the brook Cherith. The Lord says, okay, enough now. Go to Zarephath. He goes. He built the altar, all at the word of the Lord, the leading of God. But now he's running. At whose direction? At a woman threatening him. The threatening of a woman. He does not see the living Lord anymore. He sees an enraged, angry woman. Some of you. I got to be careful where I point. This few weeks, I've been pointing in the right direction. Some of you, you are so afraid because some human face looms larger than the living Lord. You make decisions based on fear of that person instead of trust in the Lord. It might be your boss. It might be your mother-in-law. My mother-in-law told me the other day, hey, mother-in-laws in our church are safe, you know, she told me. She thought I didn't know. She's trying to say, quit it. Oh, you're afraid, like Ahab, afraid of his wife. But here, he's not even married to her. And he's afraid of Jezebel. But who is Jezebel? A dying woman. Her days are numbered. Her prophets are finished. She's on the wrong side. And he's running for his life. So that can happen to any of us. The moment we take our eyes off the living Lord.
Welcome back to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Okay, my precious brothers and sisters, let us complete the instruction number 49, which says, consider this judgment of God. We were connecting the dot from what Isaiah told Israel in Isaiah chapter 34, verse 1 through 4. And we're in Revelation chapter 20, connecting the dot with verse 12. And we see here from that verse that every work that we do is going to be held in judgment by God. That's the connection. Every work that we do is going to be held in judgment by God. And this is what it should mean to us spiritually in our lives, that the prophet Isaiah and the psalmist says that God loveth judgment and that God is known by his judgment and that God's judgment endureth forever. So God's judgment is critical to our salvation. And let me share with you, my brothers and sisters, the understanding of God's judgment. He loves judgment. And that is why every work we do are considered in his judgment. And that judgment could start from just correction. It could be discipline. It could be chastisement. It could be reproof. It could be rebuff. It could be reprimand. It could be punishment. It could actually be destruction. So that's what I want you to understand, that every work that we perform, every work that we do, everything that we do is going to be judged by God. Now let's go to the next instruction. We're going to go back to Isaiah chapter 35. We're going to be looking at chapter 35, verse 2 through 5. And we're going to look at this instruction as I read the text. I want you to pay attention to this instruction. The road to glory. This is going to be the road to glory that Isaiah identified for Israel in Isaiah chapter 35, verse 2 through 5 to begin with. And this is what it says. It shall blossom abundantly and rejoice even with joy and singing. The glory of Lebanon shall be given unto it, the excellency of Carmel and Sharon. They shall see the glory of the Lord and the excellency of our God. Now we know that Jesus tells us that hereby do we glorify God, that we abound in fruit and be his disciple. Verse 3 says in Isaiah, strengthen ye the weak hands and confirm the feeble knees. Say to them that are of a fearful heart, be strong, fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance, even God with a recompense. He will come and save. Remember, God said in Deuteronomy, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. I will repay, I will recompense. Verse 5 says, then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. Everyone shall see. We know in the book of Revelations, chapter 1, it tells us, when Christ comes back on the cloud, that every eye shall see him, even those that pierced him. Now let's complete the thought by going to verse 8 through 10. This is the road to glory that Isaiah was telling Israel about. And a highway shall be there, and a way, and it shall be called the way of holiness. And we know Jesus said he is the way. The unclean shall not pass over it, but it shall be for those, the wayfaring men, those fools shall not err therein. No lion shall be there, nor any ravenous beast shall go out up thereon. It shall not be found there, but the redeemed shall walk there, and the redeemed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with songs and everlasting joy upon their heads. They shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. Now, we just read the road of glory that Isaiah gave to Israel to follow. Now, let's go to our New Testament complement, and we're going to see how the book of Revelations, chapter 22, verse 1 through 3, gives us today's road to glory that Jesus Christ gave in his prophecy. It says, and he showed me a pure river of water, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and the Lamb. In the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manners of fruits, and yielded her fruit every month, and the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. That is our road to glory, my brothers and sisters, and this is what it should mean to us spiritually in our lives, that our road to glory is mapped out for us in basic instructions before leaving earth, B-I-B-L-E, the Bible. That is where we find our way. Amen. So that's the instruction that I want you to understand from this lesson, that our road to glory is taken from B-I-B-L-E, the Bible, and that's what we're studying right now. Okay, let's go back to the next instruction. We're going to go to instruction 51, and we're going to look at Isaiah chapter 36, Isaiah chapter 36, verse 1. And this is what I want you to pay attention to as we read these verses in Isaiah. Stand with God, not with man. This is what the prophet Isaiah is telling Israel. Stand with God and not with man. And this is what the text says. Now, it came to pass in the 14th century, or the 14th year of King Hezekiah, that Sennacherib, king of Assyria, came up against all of the defense cities of Judah and took them. Now, what we're doing is hearing a story that took place that Isaiah is reminding the Israelites about concerning one of the kings called Hezekiah. Verse 4 says, and Rabshakeh said unto them, say ye now to Hezekiah, thus saith the king of Assyria, what confidence is this wherein thou trustest? I say, say thou, but they say it all but vain words. I have counsel and strength of war. Now, on whom dost thou trust that thou rebellest against me? Now, what the nation is being told by this soldier of Sennacherib, that whatever Hezekiah tells you, and what we're going to do is continue this after the break.
One of the most coveted words is the word happiness. John Maxwell here. Welcome to Minute with Maxwell. If I did again a survey and I ask each one of you, watch your Minute with Maxwell right now, raise your hand if you want happiness. We'd have our right hand up. We'd have our left hand up. We'd try to probably get our foot up there. I mean, we would do everything to basically illustrate that we want to have happiness. And yet, so many times we miss happiness because we think it's out there. And so we pursue happiness. And what we need to discover is the fact that happiness is not a place that you go or a status that you attain. Happiness is an inside job. That when I am content, happy, satisfied, pleased within myself, that everybody and everything will bring happiness around me. Just as if I'm displeased on the inside, there's nothing that will bring me pleasure or happiness on the outside. Happiness is not an outside job. It's an inside job. Happiness is not something that someone brings to me or gives to me. It's something I bring to myself and give myself. So give yourself today the gift of happiness. It's your choice. And guess what? The moment that you are happy within, there's a whole bunch of happiness that you're going to experience on the outside. Thanks for being with us today on Minute with Maxwell.
Welcome back to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Okay, my precious brothers and sisters, we were on instruction number 51, stand with God, not with man. And we were reading in the book of Isaiah, chapter 36, where the scene is King Hezekiah is being confronted by the king of Assyria, who's going to eventually take him over. And this is what verse 20 and 21 says of what happened. Who are they among all the gods of these lands that have delivered their land out of my hand, that the Lord should deliver Jerusalem out of my hand. This is what the people are hearing from the captain of Sennacherib. And verse 21 says, but they held their peace and answered him not a word. For the king's commandment was saying, answer him not. Stand with God, not with man. And we know that the king of Judah, he actually went to God to find out what he was supposed to do. And in the meantime, he told the people not to respond to the enemy. Now, what we're going to do is see how the New Testament complement connects and agrees with this, or at least references it. In Matthew chapter 16, verse 24 and 25. Matthew chapter 16, verse 24 and 25. This is the instruction now. Stand with God, not with man. And this is what Jesus has to say. But he turned and said unto Peter. Well, we'll start with 24. Then Jesus said unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whosoever shall save his life spiritually shall lose his life physically. And whosoever shall lose his life physically for my sake shall find it. So Jesus is telling Peter, Jesus is telling us that we stand with him and not with man. And those things that will happen will be to our benefit towards salvation. Now, this is what it should mean to us spiritually in our lives, that Jesus Christ is our way, he is our life, he is our light, and without him, we are lost to salvation. That's what I want you to pay attention to or understand from this instruction, that we stand with Jesus, because all power has been given to Jesus by God in heaven and in earth. And we don't listen to man, we listen to Jesus. Okay, let's go to the next instruction. We're going to go to instruction number 52, and we're going to go back to Isaiah chapter 37. We're going to look at verse 1 and verse 6 to begin with. Isaiah chapter 37, verse 1 and verse 6. And this is the instruction, which is a continuation of the previous instruction. This instruction says, ask God and see what he says. And that's what I mentioned when we were explaining instruction 51. This instruction, I want you to pay attention to or listen or keep in mind this instruction while I read the text. Ask God and see what he says. And this is what the text says. And it came to pass, when King Hezekiah heard it, that he rent his clothes and covered himself with sackcloth and went into the house of the Lord. And verse 6 says, and Isaiah said unto them, thus shall ye say unto your master, thus saith the Lord God, be not afraid of the words that thou hast heard, wherewith the servants of the king of Assyria has blasphemed me. And then verse 16, 15 through 17 says, and Hezekiah prayed unto the Lord, saying, O Lord of hosts, God of Israel, thou dwellest between the cherubims. Thou art the God, even thou alone, of all the kingdoms of the earth. Thou hast made heaven and earth. Incline thy ear, O Lord, and hear. Open thy eyes, O Lord, and see, and hear all the words of Sennacherib, which had sent to reproach the living God. And so the king, Hezekiah, asked God, and this is what God did. We're going to go to verse 33 and 34, and this is going to be the end of this story, and it's going to tell what God did, or the end of this episode of the story. Verse 33 says, therefore, thus saith the Lord concerning the king of Assyria, he shall not come into this city, nor shoot an arrow there, nor come before it with shields, nor cast a bank against it. By the way that he came, by the same shall he return, and shall not come into this city, saith the Lord God Almighty. For I will defend this city to save it for my own sake and for my servant David's sake, Then the angel of the Lord went forth and smote in the camp of the Assyrians 185,000. And when they arose early in the morning, behold, they were all dead men corpses. So Sennacherib, king of Assyria, departed and went and returned and dwelt in Nineveh. So because Hezekiah asked God, God told him what he was going to do, and he did it. Now what I want you to do, we're going to go to our New Testament compliment, and we're going to go to John chapter 16, and we're going to see how Jesus tells us to respond the same today. John chapter 14, verse 16, and this is what Jesus said. I will pray the Father. All of those who are listening out there, my brothers and sisters, I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. And we know that that other comforter is the Holy Ghost. And we know from studies in John, and we'll get there indeed in time, that the Holy Ghost will guide you in all truth, will teach you all things of God, and will bring back to your remembrance everything that Jesus Christ has said of God. So ask God and see what he says. We have the comforter to respond to us. And this is what it should mean to us spiritually in our lives, that we must seek God. We must knock for God, and we must ask God for all of our needs. And Jesus promised us that we will succeed if we do this in his name. And that is what I'm trying to share with you. We must ask, knock, and receive. But of course, my brothers and sisters, there is a prerequisite. We must be born again. We must confess Jesus Christ. We must keep his commandments. Those are prerequisites to receiving what we desire and ask for. Now let's go to the next instruction. We're back to Isaiah. We're instruction number 53. We're going to be looking at Isaiah chapter 38. Isaiah chapter 38, verse 1 through 9 is what we're looking at. Isaiah chapter 38, verse 1 through 9. And this is the instruction that I want you to pay attention to as we read the text. God is the only refuge in the time of trouble. Did you hear that, my brothers and sisters? God is the only refuge in the time of trouble. Now, this is what Isaiah told Israel in Isaiah chapter 38, 1 through 9. He said, and in those days was Hezekiah sick unto death. And Israel and Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amos, came unto him and said unto him, thus saith the Lord God Almighty, set thy house in order, for thou shalt die and not live. And listen, my brothers and sisters, about what Hezekiah did. Then Hezekiah turned his face toward the wall and prayed unto the Lord and said, remember now, O Lord, I beseech thee, how I have walked before thee in truth and with a perfect heart, and have done that which is good in thy sight. And Hezekiah wept sore. Then came the word of the Lord to Isaiah, saying, go and say to Hezekiah, thus saith the Lord, the God of David thy father, I have heard thy prayer. I have seen thy tears. Behold, I will add unto thy days 15 years. So God is the only refuge in the time of trouble. And you can see what Hezekiah did. He went to God the Father to get the favor of extended life. And this is what, after the break, will continue.
How many times does the believer pray a day? The Muslims pray 5 times a day. The Jews pray 3 times a day all their life as a lifestyle. They do it whether they are happy or not, whether they are under attack or not, whether they are blessed or not, whether they are sad or happy. They just do it. It's a lifestyle for total takeover of the world and of our nations. And all we do is to pray 1 or 2 times and think we've made it. No, unless prayer becomes a lifestyle continuously, praying in the morning, praying in the afternoon, praying in the evening, praying in the night, praying at midnight, unless we follow the four seasons and the four watches of the day and the four watches of the night, and praying consistently when prayer becomes a lifestyle. So you pray whether you feel like praying or not. You pray when you are broke, and you pray when you are blessed, and you pray when you are down, and you pray when you are up, because prayer is a necessity for survival and for the maintenance of daily victory for the believer. And anointing don't come by just preaching. Anointing comes when you spend time in the secret place and he breathes upon you. So the secret place of the Most High is the place of prayer. And we need to go back to the place of prayer. So many of you came that far through prayer, and now we succeeded. We are very anointed, and we have everything. We are very sophisticated. So we're trying to use our head and our mind to intellectualize God. You cannot navigate through the end time storms if you don't go back to the place of prayer. Whatever made you who you are and what you are, you have to constantly maintain it.
Welcome back to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Okay, my precious brothers and sisters, we're still on instruction number 53, and the instruction is God is the only refuge in the time of trouble. And we just learned from Isaiah chapter 38, we're reading verse 1 through 9, how Hezekiah turned to God because he was troubled that he had received information from the prophet that he was supposed to die. And then after he turned to God and prayed vigorously, God gave him a reprieve, gave him 15 more years. And this is the continuation of that story. We're on verse 6, and it says, "And I will deliver thee and this city out of the hand of the king of Assyria, and I will defend this city. And this shall be a sign unto thee from the Lord, that the Lord will do this thing that he hath spoken. Behold, I will bring again the shadow of the degrees, which is gone down in the sundial of Ahaz, 10 degrees backwards. So the sun returned 10 degrees, by which degrees it was gone down. The writing of Hezekiah, king of Judah, which he had been sick and was recovered of his sickness." So God even showed him a sign that this would be. Now what we're going to do is go to our New Testament complement. We're going to go to Luke chapter 22, verse 39 through 46. And this is what we're going to learn, how it compares and agrees with what we just got from this instruction of God is the only refuge in the time of trouble. Listen to this, my brothers and sisters. This is for us today. Luke 22, verse 39 through 46. It says, And he came out and went as he wont to the Mount of Olives, and his disciples also followed him. That was Jesus. And then when he was at the place, he said unto them, "Pray that ye enter not into temptation." And he was withdrawn from them for about a stone's cast, and knelt down and prayed, saying, "Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done." Now remember, Hezekiah did likewise. He heard that he was going to die, and he went to God in prayer, and God gave him more time. Now Jesus knew that he was sent to die, but now he prays to God, "Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done." And this is what happened. "And there appeared an angel unto him from heaven, strengthening him. And being in agony, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was as it was great blood, drops of blood, falling down from the ground. And when he arose up from prayer, and he was come to his disciples, he found them sleeping from sorrow. And he said unto them, Why sleep ye? Rise and pray, lest ye enter into temptation." That's our key, my brothers and sisters. We go to God in refuge. In any trouble, he is our refuge. Now, this is what it should mean to us spiritually in our lives, that we should seek inside advice first then seek outside advice. That means we should go to God in prayer. We should be still and be quiet, as the psalmist has taught, and receive word from God. And then, of course, we can receive word from man to add to that, because we do know that Jesus taught us, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and the rest will be added unto you. So that's what this particular lesson I wanted you to receive from that instruction. Now we're going to go to the 54th instruction. We're going to go to back to Isaiah chapter 39, and we're going to be reading verse 1 through 7 in Isaiah chapter 39, 1 through 7. And this is the instruction that I want you to pay attention to as we read the text. If God does it, if God doesn't approve it, don't do it. Did you hear that, my brothers and sisters? If God doesn't approve it, don't do it. And this is what Isaiah told Israel to be open to or be aware of in that instance. Isaiah chapter 39, verse 1 through 7. This is what it says. And at that time, these men from Babylon sent letters and a present to Hezekiah, for they had heard that he had been sick and was recovered. Now Hezekiah was glad of them and showed them the house of his precious things, the silver and the gold and the spices and the precious ointment and all of the house of his armament. And all of that was found in his treasures. There was nothing in his house, nor in all of his dominion, did Hezekiah show them not. Now, Hezekiah knew that God did not allow him to mix and mingle with the Babylonians, but Hezekiah did. This is what verse 3 says. Then came Isaiah, the prophet, unto King Hezekiah and said unto him, what said these men? And from whence came they unto thee? And Hezekiah said, they are come from a far country unto me, even from Babylon. Then he said, meaning Isaiah, what have they seen in thy house? And Hezekiah answered, all that is in my house they have seen. There is nothing among my treasures that I have not showed them. Now, again, the instruction is, if God doesn't approve it, don't do it. And this is what the prophet said to Hezekiah, for doing what he shouldn't have done. Then said Isaiah to Hezekiah, hear the word of the Lord of hosts. Behold, the days come that all that's in thy house and that which thy father has laid up in store until this day shall be carried to Babylon. Nothing shall be left, saith the Lord. And thy sons that shall issue from thee, which thou shall beget, shall they take away, and they shall be eunuchs in the palace of the king of Babylon. So that is what God did as an example. And Isaiah brought that to the attention of the Israelites. Now, what we're going to do is go to Romans chapter 14. We're going to go to our New Testament complements and see how it compares and agrees with what we just read. Romans chapter 14, verse 16 through 18. Romans chapter 14, verse 16 through 18. And remember, if God doesn't approve it, don't do it. This is what Paul gives to us. Let not then your good be evil spoken of. You need to obey the Lord, not man. For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. Paul is telling us that the physical things are secondary. The obedience to God is primary, and from that obedience, you're going to get righteousness and peace and have joy in the Holy Ghost. For he that in these things serve Christ and is acceptable to God and is approved of by man. So if we want to be acceptable to God and approved of by man, this is what we're going to have to do, obey God. And if God doesn't say it, we don't do it. Now, this is what it should mean to us spiritually in our lives, that righteousness, peace, and joy are indicators of God's acceptance and approval of our actions. So if you are receiving righteousness, and if you are receiving peace, that if you are receiving joy in the Holy Ghost, then you know that what you're doing is acceptable to God. Now we're going to go to instruction number 55. And we are back to Isaiah chapter 40, verse 1 through 4. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 1 through 5, I should say. That is what we're going to be looking at. And this is the instruction that we're going to follow. Go tell us who he is. Go tell us who he is. That is telling of the commission that we are under for Jesus Christ. But this is how Isaiah told Israel about it in Isaiah chapter 40, verse 1 through 5. It says, comfort ye, my people, saith your God. Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem and cry out to her that her welfare, her warfare is accomplished, that her iniquity is pardoned, for she hath received of the Lord's hand double for all of her sins. The voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain shall be brought low. And we'll continue after the break.
Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. For by it the people of old received their commendation. For by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not your own doing, it is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one receives the prize? So run that you may obtain it. Every athlete exercises self-control in all things. They do it to receive a perishable wreath, but we an imperishable. So I do not run aimlessly. I do not box as one beating the air, but I discipline my body and keep it under control, lest, after preaching to others, I myself should be disqualified. The good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith.
Welcome back to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, BIBLE. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Okay, my precious brothers and sisters, we are on instruction number 55. The instruction is, go tell us, go tell them, go tell everyone who he is. This is what Isaiah is telling Israel. And we're in Isaiah chapter 40, verse 1 through 5, and we're going to read verse 5 right now. And it says, and the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all the flesh shall see it together. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. We are supposed to go tell it. And verse 10 says, behold, the Lord God will come with strong hand, and his arm shall rule for him. Behold, his reward is with him and his work before him. This is what Isaiah is telling Israel they should be doing. And we should be doing likewise, by the way, my brothers and sisters. Verse 25, it says, to whom then will ye liken me? Or shall I be equal, saith the Holy One. And verse 28 through 31 concludes the thought by saying, hast thou not known, hast thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? There is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increases strength. Even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But listen to this, my brothers and sisters. This is the climax that Isaiah is telling the Israelites, and we should be aware of it. Go tell us, go tell them, go tell everyone who he is. Why? Because they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings of eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not be faint. And that is the reason why we should do this. And now what we're going to do is go to our New Testament complement. We're going to go to the book of Luke, chapter 24. The book of Luke, chapter 24, we're going to look at verse 46 to 48. And we're going to see how Jesus tells us today. Remember I mentioned the commission? Luke, chapter 24. Verse 46 through 48. And this is what Jesus is telling us today. And Jesus said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to raise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are witnesses of these things. We, my brothers, have received this commission to go tell them who he is. And this is what it should mean to us spiritually in our lives, that it is our commission to plant and water the Lord's garden by preaching and teaching, by being witnesses and testifying, by edifying and admonishing. That is what we're supposed to do. Go tell it who he is. Now, we're going to go to instruction number 56, and we're going to go back to Isaiah chapter 41, and we're going to look at verse 9 through 13, Isaiah chapter 41, verse 9 through 13, and this is the instruction that I want you to pay attention to as I read the text. God will protect us. That's the instruction, and this is what Isaiah told Israel in Isaiah chapter 41, 9 through 13. To whom have I taken from the ends of the earth, and called thee from the chief men thereof, and said unto thee, thou art my servants. I have chosen thee, and have not cast them away. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with my right hand of my righteousness. God will protect us. Behold, all they that were incensed against thee shall be ashamed and confounded. They shall be as nothing, and that they that strive with thee shall perish. Remember even Jesus, before his time had come for what he was called to do for God, no one could touch him. Even Paul, he even was stoned at one time, and they said that he got up because it was not his time. God will protect his own. This is what that's telling us. Now, verse 11 says, behold, all that were incensed against thee shall be ashamed and confounded. They shall be as nothing, and they shall strive with thee, shall perish. Thou shalt seek them and shall not find them, even them that contended with thee. They that war against thee shall be as nothing and as a thing of naught. For I, the Lord thy God, will hold thy right hand saying unto thee, fear not, I will help thee. And we'll complete the thought in verse 20. It says that they may see and know and consider and understand together that the hand of the Lord has done this and the Holy One of Israel had created this. This is what Isaiah is telling Israel that they should be able to respond to. God will protect them if they obey God's commandments. Now what we're going to do is go to the book of Revelations, what we want to do first, we're going to go to the book of Revelations, chapter 2, and we're going to see how this New Testament complement gives a comparison of what we just read. We're going to go to Revelations chapter 2, verse 10 and 11. And this is what the Spirit says to the church in the instruction given at Smyrna. It says, fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that ye may be tried, and ye may shall have tribulations 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. Verse 11, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. He that overcometh shall not be hurt of the second death. God said that he would protect us. Jesus gave in this proclamation, in this prophecy, this revelation to us. And this is what it should mean to us spiritually in our lives, my brothers and sisters, that if God is for you, no one can stand against you. But that doesn't mean you are above human tribulations, okay? Because God told us through the psalmist that many are the tribulations of the righteous, but he will deliver them out of them all. What it does mean is that God will bring you out of whatever is he is protecting you against. Again, I'll read that what God will bring you out of whatever he is protecting you against. That means that until you have completed the calling that you have been ordained to accomplish, that God will be there to protect you. Now, that's what I wanted to share with you for the meaning in this particular instruction. That's what the spiritual intent is. Now, this completes the lesson for this evening. And as we are about to sign off, the host and I want to thank you and bless you for your participation and encouragement. Because we have another minute, I will quickly review what we looked at tonight in our lesson. And this is what we looked at. We looked at considering the judgment of God, the road to glory for God, stand with God and not with man, ask God and see what he says. God is the only refuge in the time of trouble. And if God doesn't approve it, don't do it. And go tell them and tell us, tell everyone who God is, and God will protect his own. Those were the categories of the lessons of instruction this evening. And now, as we say goodnight to all of our listeners, I want you to remember this. This is what Jesus says. He that hath an ear, let him hear. God bless and good night.
For joining us for Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, BIBLE, Blog Talk Radio Talk Show Program. Hope you were blessed by our program. Please join us every Wednesday at 7 p.m. for Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth. BIBLE.